amended so that we could ensure to the library that that does not mean we don't want a library nor appreciate a library. So I think the first thing that needs to be identified, based off what Jeff Mercer has said here today, both structural concerns or health concerns, is we need to find the library another temporary location. So we decide where the new home, permanent home, is. So I would like to see options provided for that. There are a few vacant buildings. I don't know if they meet their requirements. So I think we need to identify that, and I'm curious to see what other people around this table can say about that.
We had that discussion before, and I thought that we were going to look into a couple different areas. Well, we did talk about it. So did we look at any areas yet or not? Anyone approached? I think of one place in particular, but I'm not mentioning it here. Because
when you were acting as mayor, in your deputy mayor role, you asked me to look into one place. I did look into that one place, and it's occupied.
Okay.
Forgive me?
I knew that under the circumstances we have to look for alternate plan at location M that closes present library and until all the new ones built. Even if we have everything going today, the new ones aren't going to be built for
years.
I think we've got to have some kind of a discussion about what direction we give the selection committee, because right now we've put the brakes on everything with no direction to go forward. The project is basically killed. So, you know, I think we have to discuss whether we're even going to go forward with the library and find out whether council wants the committee to go back and restart the process of and what the new terms of reference look like, if there's new terms of reference.
Councillor Charlton.
That was another point I was going to bring up. That was my first point, was about finding them a temporary home. I think that's pressing. I guess maybe some clarification in regards to the steering committee terms of reference, how those would be needed to be revised, because it's my understanding that from Councillor Brown's previous comments that Queen's Place and Mayor Center was looked at as a possible home for the library. And so I am curious, is that an opportunity to combine that as an addition with the proposed?
Council can spend as much money as it wants and build whatever it wants. I'm not an architect and I'm not a project manager, but I would predict that trying to add on to an existing building is going to cost far more than a standalone building. However, I'm not a project manager, I'm not an architect, and I'm not a construction analysis. However, it's council's wish to spend as much or as little money as they wish. And I'm not, it's, you are the majority. The more, I'm not saying anything else, so if you wish to hire an architect to look at what it would cost to take Queen's Place apart, put an addition, to put an outdoor pool that I must say we never had any siting criteria for. But if council wishes to do all of that on the backs of the taxpayers, then that's completely their option. However, keep in mind that the $3 million we were using for that we had planned to use to construct this library came from surplus money given to us by federal provincial governments during COVID and massive amounts of de-transfer money. So this is not money that was put on tax rates. This was extra money during the COVID years and de-transfer sales. Deputy Mayor Fancy.
First off, I'd like to get our tone back on track.
Yes.
Whatever we choose, I thought I should, at least I'm trying to be what we're trying to do, let's go forward, whether we like it or not, let's go forward with this. The one thing that the CEO mentioned here about the library, and I got some numbers down, if I got them wrong, that's fine, I can copy down wrong, but I think it was the library bill was really a 2.4 million. Then you started putting in the extras, like the parking lot and such as, well, which you wouldn't need if you go to Queens Place and such as. I'd like to ask, we're going to look at this with a pool. My thoughts would be to look at this as a one complex. At least examine this part of it. Like I said, the building itself was mentioned as 2.4. So if we have 3 million and we don't have a parking lot, we've already got the parking lot, we got other things that it can join on to Queens Place, or it could be separate, it is a separate entity with a connection into it. But that's for people who are architects and things like that to be able to design. But my suggestion would be to look at that as a possibility. And have it as one building, one complex.
Other question?
Reading all the library minutes took a while. Thank you, Vicky, Council Mayor. So, in that, I've seen the project manager Andrew Amos, is that his name? He mentioned a couple times that we're doing the combination. So, isn't that something that we should talk to him about? He's the project manager for the library, so shouldn't we talk to him about what he feels that can happen? Of a combination, or putting it on attached to or beside the Amera Center or whatever.
All costs can be determined, and yes, I would think that would that be a question of the project manager to determine the steps required?
So at our last meeting, you don't have minutes for those yet, so I haven't done them yet. Now Sir Amero is the chairperson, so if you can attest to my comments, but was discussion at the meeting last week about what the opportunities would be to connect it to Queens Place. And of course, the project manager said, sure, you can do it, but the costs are going to be substantially more. Give you a couple examples, a standalone building built on combustible construction. Build it connected to Queens Place has to be, it's combustible construction. To build it connected to Queens Place has to be non-combustible construction, the same as Queens Place. If you build it standalone, you don't need a sprinkler. If you build it connected to Queens Place, you need a sprinkler. You don't just need to affect the sprinkler for the library, you need to affect the sprinkler in the whole building. If the Queens Place power supply, if it does not have enough power to supply extra for the extra buildings, you not only have to replace or put in the power supply for just a library building or a pool, you have to replace the whole Queens Place power supply because it has to supply power for the whole building. Talk about roof. The roof there is a flat roof, and it would not be appropriate to put a slanted roof connected to the building. You'd have to put a slope or a flat roof, and a flat roof is substantially more expensive. And there was a bunch of other things as well. And so at the meeting, he said, if you want to hire me, I'm going to make a lot of money off you, because your costs for connecting to the main building is going to substantially increase, which increases his project management costs. Anything is possible, and so. But he hasn't been in the building, Queens Place, and gone through and double-checked all that stuff. So he was talking from a general construction context and not from a specific context. Because what he would suggest, I'm sure he would if he was here, was you need to hire an architect, and he would then hire mechanical engineers and all those types of things, who would then spend $150,000 to do up the schematic and tell you what's possible and what it would cost. Anything's possible, but they would do up the design to do that. I do remember probably 4 or 5 years ago, we priced out just to bring water from the back end of the building to the front end for a potential pool or other aspects. And the architect at that time wanted, I think, $70,000 just to do the design from the back of the building to the front of the building just for a water line. And that doesn't include what it costs to actually construct it. So you want to engage Mr. Amos to get him to have a chat, but he's going to tell you the basics, but he's going to tell you need to hire an architect, mechanical engineer, and he can do it for you. That's probably going to cost you, I would say, probably in the ballpark of $100,000 to have those minimum, because just the water alone was 70, so if you want to get in the building, it may be substantially more, I honestly don't know. Just know it's gonna be a big number to do that. And then also when you get into the parking stuff, we say we won't need more parking, but if you're gonna build a library, you're gonna build a pool, the parking lot there isn't sufficient for it probably. We probably need to have a different, not only more parking, but a different configuration, because I know the concern from the library was if you put it on the, why, one of the reasons why it wasn't brought forward as a recommendation was the distance from the current parking lot to a library in the way back, way in the back of the building would be an impediment to a lot of people, a lot of seniors, a lot of people, persons with disabilities, bringing books, taking books, and so on and so forth, would be a very much of an impediment for users of the building, whereas now 99% of the libraries in the province drive up to the parking space right in front of the building and you're in and out. This particular case, you'd have to walk a long distance from a parking lot all the way through. We know we already have safety issues with the current parking lot, so I think to do that, there's gonna have to be some significant reconfiguration of parking lot. So I don't think there's any real savings for a parking lot or some of the other things that, that have been discussed.
Councilor Brown? Oh, Councilor Merrill. Okay, Councilor Brown.
Just when I was on, when I was chairing the committee, that was when it was brought up by Andrew Amos about combining the project, and that was not volunteered by him. That was a question that was asked by me from members of council to see if they could go together. And it's like anything else. You can fix any problem you want as long as you throw enough money at it. Fill any hole with money.
Councilor Romero?
Well, we do have the cost of the other sites. Those was already looked at, so we don't have to look at those. We know the cost of those. So the only thing we don't know the cost of is the addition on Queen's Place. And Andrew did say that it would be far more. To all Chris's comments, he'd say the exact same thing. So I think we need to really examine all of them. Go back to our committee and examine all of them again. Either the recent...
Councilor Charlton?
So it was stated here earlier that up to $400 a square foot for the construction would be the library itself to do at 2.4. Understand that correctly?
Yeah.
So then Councilor Romero had said about, so we're going to do basically everything else for the 600,000, include the drains, etc. Takes us to 3 billion. So my question is, how does putting the library on the waterfront, for example, on the former site, cost in excess of 300 to 600,000 if the library is 2.4? It would be within the budget, 3 million, if we use that site for an example, because we have that 600,000 to develop that site. So I'm a little bit confused and I'm wondering if we misunderstood it.
We would, but you have to also factor in price increases. Only downfall, and in my business, I know there's increases every day. So that's the only thing you kind of have to factor in is the...
You also have to factor in that you still got site work. So the extra, whatever it was, that he proposed for pilings, that's not necessarily for the digging up and all the other stuff. So the site work there, still got HST, still got his costs, still have parking lot, because I can't imagine you put a library there with no parking. So you're going to need parking on there, so you're still going to need the parking, you're still going to need the power, you're still going to need all those things. So you're still going to need all the furniture and equipment in a new library. So all those costs are all fixed for the most part. So you're still going to be at 3 million tight, plus whatever that extra premium is for that particular property. My understanding is that.
There is because very water, sewer, power there, so that's a big part of the cost.
But the sewer and water may need to be upgraded. So we still have to run laterals and all that stuff too, so I'm not sure that's a direct engineering question.
But you did say the parking, furniture and things was included in this 3 million. So I have to include that.
Has Andrew Amos been hired as a project manager, or he's Andrew rather, or he's not yet been hired?
I would caution council again about building anything on the in that Centennial Privateer Park area. We don't talk much about climate change in this council, but it's real. We have been fortunate never to have, in our date since we've been elected, to have massive flooding in that area. And my question is, how high are you going to build that building if the council ever decides to build there? However, as council, as Deputy Mayor Fancy said, we all have to get on now and find a new site, so, because we all do want a library. Councilor Charlton?
I'd just like to recognize that, yes, there are issues with the climate change, but there's also money available from the province and the feds. The province has a flood risk grant that funds up to 50% of the project. And the feds have the disaster mitigation and adaption fund. And there are other municipalities accessing funds build in areas like this so that they don't lose available space and that they can build up to accommodate rises in water. I mean, happening everywhere. And we've had previous discussions before and proposals from our economic development department about how we could really build up that waterfront. And so I guess it would go back to the point of something like that could support that waterfront, and we could access federal and provincial funding as a part of that project to do that. I mean, that's exactly what was done with the DIC. It was built up for that reason.
That was built up at substantial cost, and I just cannot ever foresee why we would knowingly build, regardless of how much money we have to protect it someday, a building that we want to last for a long time in an area that we know suffers flooding and is going to continue as ocean rises. We have plenty of space in the region of Queens, and towns that are doing that are very limited on their developable spaces. We have plenty of developable land. However, again, Councilor Round.
I'd have some real concerns with going with that approach, because we could end up designing something or budgeting for something based on the fact that the feds and the province are going to pay for half of it, and then find out that we get rejected for the funding, which has already happened to us on a number of projects, and then there's another year gone. I mean, every time we do this stuff, it's another year gone, and we know that building's not going to last. I still think we have to move ahead with the project we've got. We know that Queens Manor is going to want the extension to the road. It's not going to add significantly to the cost. The committee identified that several times as the best choice, but here we are stuck with
right.
No project.
The motion has been rescinded.
Yeah, I know. I just...
That's...
Just to add that we did apply years ago, I think, under that provincial flood risk assessment to raise Market Street. Because that floods in front of the old Forms Tempro, mm-hmm. And we were denied. But we have applied for that. It's a very small amount of money they have, and we did apply, and we were denied, recognizing that that's the emergency route for ambulances and fire trucks to the hospital and everywhere else. And so when that floods, unless we do something in the next number of years and see the rise continues, then there's going to be some serious issues around emergency services not having access at that floods.
Mr. Charlton?
I also noticed in the minutes that the committee spoke about the importance of hiring an architect. That was more of a priority for them than engaging with the project manager. So would it not be appropriate to have the committee engage an architect so we can have options provided to us on a larger scale? Because right now, a lot of this and that, there's no hard facts, so that we can move forward. We do need to move forward on something.
If I may. So the responsibility for all those is the project manager's responsibility. Project manager did engage an architect, and the architect met with the steering committee last week, provide some basic schematics of layout on the lot. And so they looked at, I think it was five options. Don't correct me if I'm wrong, I think they looked at five different locations on that lot, but the schematics and the architect is specific to that lot. So now those are lost. But so there is a need for an architect, but the project manager engages the architect.
Okay.
The architect we can't afford to engage an architect to find the whole building. The architect, we can only afford for the architect to do a basic schematic of a layout and of what the building's going to look like, and the footprint inside the building, the layout of the foot, inside the building. Other than that, no money allocated for an architect.
Councilor Merrill?
And that was one of the things I was confused about actually, was the options that he presented was removing the sledding hill. And in our motion, it says we're putting it adjacent to the sledding hill. So that was one of my concerns actually.
But if, and just to clarify, if the road goes in as Queens Manor wants it, the sledding hill's gonna have to go anyway because the people will be sledding right under the road. So, but Queens Manor has agreed to pick the sledding hill and put it on the other side of the road on their property, but I assume if council doesn't extend the road, they will not agree to that. Because the sledding hill now does, it's good, and rail the road, and so if that road goes to where their driveway is, they'll have to move anywhere because you can't have.
But you keep saying the manor is requesting the road. I have not heard the manor request the road, so that's what I'm confusing.
In speaking with some members of the board, they are not expecting road costs in their, so if council is going to deliberate and I believe they may want to know if we are not going to pay for that road with the money from the land sale, because that is an assumption that was made. And I believe it's a correct assumption. It's the way things have always gone. They're paying an incredible amount of money for the land, fair market value, and they do expect that we do that. And if we're not going to, if council decides they're not going to support the nonprofit organization of Queens Manor that works diligently and hard as volunteers and are
trying. Madam Mayor, point of order. Did you pass the meeting over to Deputy Mayor Pam?
No, that ended with the rescinding.
Well, you're doing a lot of.
It's a discussion, and it's discussion, and we're not voting on any motions.
But the
so
last
mayor,
one of the other meetings, you passed it over to Deputy Mayor Pam. So I think it has to be passed over.
I believe we need some clear rules on the discussion part of our agenda.
I do too.
Councilor Charlton?
I just want to go back to the point that it was assumed by someone, but council did not make a motion or put it in the capital budget last year. So I feel like we're being treated like we said we'd do something and then we yanked it out from them, but we never said we would do that. And that was involved in their plan. So whether they were told that by someone else or it was just an assumption on their own, that's unfair to these members around this table. Say that.
I just simply spoke the truth. And the truth is that they did assume that they would not be required to spend money on a road. It's not unfair, it's what they assumed, and if council wishes to have further discussion with them, then that can be arranged. Does council wish to have further discussion respecting that?
I think my hand up.
Councilor Mews?
The only discussion we had about any money that over in the mayor land is a discussion about purchasing some land. Brought up pretty short in camera, so I don't know how much I can say, that we should look at purchasing some land. There was no discussion about doing a road.
It would be very unfortunate this council chooses not to support the Queens Manor and causes an extra $1 million or $500,000 on their expenses. Councilor Romero?
That's another thing that I'm confused about as well, is that's not in our 2023 capital budget for this $950,000. It's in 24-25, so we're starting a library. Why is that not in our 2023-2024 budget for the road?
The Director of Engineering and Public Works has budgeted for next year, which would be not this April, but it would be done next April and May, because the library wouldn't be finished until then, so you can build the library without having finished the road or without having the sewer and water booked in until the end, part of that, so.
When do you build a road first before you build the library?
Well, they may go in and put some gravel in order for construction, because even Queens Manor is going to need, because right now it's muck. They're just going to have to need to upgrade when they start construction. I'm not sure when they plan to. When they start construction, either they're going to expect us to upgrade the road, or they're going to have to upgrade the road during the construction phase. So part of that will take place early, but then the actual final construction of the road and all that stuff would be later on. So if we're not going to extend water and sewer, if we're going to extend water and sewer, you need to do that sooner rather than later. But they're not going to, they're going to be in construction for probably 2 years. So they don't necessarily need water and sewer immediately either. So they'll have to, but there'll have to be some basic maintenance to the road. But then once water and sewer gets extended, it'll have to be all dug up again. It won't be a permanent road, it'll just be gravel added on being. But it's in the 24-25 budget for the road extension, just because that's the first time our department will have time to do it, and that meets into the timeline.
Any direction to end this discussion of a library? I believe the committee, when do they meet again, CA McNeil?
It has been decided, it was made and waiting for today's discussion.
So you will notify them, and I suspect there will be a meeting soon. Of the library committee. Chairman call that meeting. So, I mean, I believe the committee is going to perhaps make some suggestions or decisions on what they their steps forward. Councilor Charlton?
I'd just like to go back to my first comment about securing a place for them temporarily. So, can we have that given some priority for options for them to vacate their current?
How does the rest of council feel about that? That the library committee should be told to find options for to vacate their space, to set themselves up somewhere else until a new library is built? Mr. Romero?
I think maybe it's a discussion council should have with the committee.
We have our council representatives.
It's probably a more appropriate discussion with the library board. And if my research be correctly, our current lease requires us to get 12 months notice. So even if we move to another location temporarily, we're still on the hook for 12 months rent to the current facility if it stays open.
So therefore, does council want D.O. McNeil to contact the library board and to tell them to start seeking a separate location, knowing that we have to pay rent for 1 year, but in 1 year's time, we wish them moved to a new location? Councilor Brown?
I don't think we want to tell them that they have to leave now. I think we're trying to make a contingency plan for if something happens with the existing library before something new gets built. I think it's probably more appropriate to ask the library board to come up with a contingency plan for us and what that looks like. The selection committee is just that. They're a selection committee. They're not, it's not in their mandate to pick us a plan B for the meantime, I don't think. So I think that falls to the Social Republic Library Board.
Terrell, do you agree that go to the library board?
I think to the CAO's point of counsel is more appropriate to the library board. I agree with that. And
those facts, I think that would be also helpful, with this conversation.
Yes, we can be presided, we can be presided.
And, they'll heat, I'm sure that, the other day they didn't have any heat for most of the day, so maybe that might be one of the options. We should check that.
Is that the end of the library discussion? Counselor Brown?
I think we're still in limbo here. We haven't given any direction to go to the committee to what the next step is. I mean, right now, we've rescinded the location, so we have no location, we have no direction to that committee to look for another location or to change what we're gonna ask them for. So if we want a different outcome, we have to change the terms of reference. So, you know, we either need a motion to bring it back as a recommendation at the next meeting to change the terms of reference so the committee can look for different locations, or we have to just ask them to go back and look at the same information, the new information that we have, and see if it changes their decision-making process. But we have to give the committee a direction, because right now we're dead in the water.
They did present themselves with those sites, and I believe that your suggestion that they be told that that is definitely no longer a go, that they're going to have to look at the other sites that they considered, or if they wish to even investigate attaching to Queen's Place, that those are things that that committee is going to have to do. Correct? From what I heard today? Are there options, any other options they would have? Feel me, feel?
Stop them, but we, I think we should look at also too, like, we're talking about library alone, library and pool together. I still cannot get my hand wrapped around how that couldn't be built by Queen's Place. If it was a standalone unit, it would be the same thing as having a standalone unit over the other spot, and how it could not be, and maybe the configuration may be different and such as, but it's how building one building would be more expensive over one spot than the other. Talk about roof slope and everything else, it's all about the construction, so I can't see how that, and be able to put things together. And we talk about parking lot, we're talking about, you know, you might have to have different parking spaces there or something, but that's all part of a design. I would like to see that looked at.
Counselor Charlton?
I guess I just need some clarity. So, when that motion was originally defeated to propose to put the library by the sledding hill, and ended up coming up with a motion later on for the committee to give us their second best option based off of how they scored their stuff. And I recognize that they didn't provide a second best option. They provided a few options, but they all had additional costs, and they asked for those not to come out of their budget. So, to Councilor Brown's comment, does we need to change the steering terms of reference? And it was stated when that motion was originally defeated too, but I don't understand why they would have to be changed. So if we could get context on that, because nowhere in here that I can see does it say they will provide only one site or the best site. So if our CAO could explain, I guess, that if that is a concern and it would need to change, or if it in fact does not need to change, based off the way that the three guide up, I don't see how it does have to change.
I don't have the terms of reference in front of me, so I don't know what it says. But originally they brought forward a recommendation, and council asked them to bring forth a different recommendation. I think the second best option or something was the terminology. And the committee met and deliberated on that for quite a while and determined there was no second best option. There's only one option out of all those locations. Brought back exact same recommendation. And so the terms of reference, I'm not sure what I don't have the terms of reference that says it on the preference is, but I guess without some clear direction to the committee as to what you're expecting, so is it gonna be a combined, as the deputy mayor said, a combined pool library? And that's the unanimous support or the majority support of council, and they can move forward that, but to just send it back to them, have another meeting, they're just gonna look at each other, I expect, and Councilor Merrill, chairperson's gonna say, what are we gonna talk about? Cause they're gonna say, well, we wanna know what council wants.
Right.
Till council decides exactly what council wants. It's hard for them to make a decision, cause I expect if we go back without any clear direction to them, it'll be the last meeting, I don't think they'll come back.
So it's, it really, they just need clear direction from us, their term, the terms of reference based off how they read, I don't think they need change, they just need clear direction. But as it was mentioned earlier about, Andrew Amos, the project manager, mentioning, I think it was, Councilor Brown said at the very first meeting that they wanted, well, he brought up the fact that we're asking about a pool and a library combined. And there were other committee members that agreed they should look at that. But then at the next meeting, 3 weeks later, they chose a site, so it would be important, I think, for council to have that information to understand how they chose that site, I guess, so quickly, because it was also noted later after that motion was rejected, or defeated rather, on council, that the project manager stated that if this was the only way to move forward with the project, they needed to really consider pool in the library. So to me, it sounds like they really didn't get a chance yet to consider that. So I think the direction from us would be that we're looking for that information in regards to Queen's Place and what those options are.
Councilor Romero?
And I do have the terms of reference here, and it says, work with project manager to review potential site locations for a new library, considering accessibility and community fit, along with expected capital and operating costs.
Brown?
And when we did discuss at one of the meetings, it was brought up about combining, the possibility of combining the two projects. Andrew Amos said that it would add significant costs because you're adding something with a lot of moisture and pools and libraries don't go together. Water and books are not a good combination, and it would add significant cost to the building. That's the discussion we had, that it could be cost prohibitive, and that's why we eliminated that as one of the options that we looked at.
Councilor Charlton?
I guess it just goes back to the fact about if work with the province and the feds, and I'm uncertain why it's been mentioned about no money for a library or pool, because the Green Community Building Fund, or however it was presented, that the Theater Society asked for approval to apply for references public buildings, community spaces, as long as they're open to the public, and they support new builds, but they also support retrofits to existing. And if I'm not mistaken, the Mariner Center is building on a pool, and I'm not exactly sure what all they're building on, but they've accessed that money from the province and the feds. So I do recognize why the committee, valued that area because of the things that are there. But I think we really need to look at Queen's Place, because if people are already in the building, then I think that the usage could increase. So I guess I just go back to the comment of I would like that context. I've not been provided anything about Queen's Place or the preliminary site reports, and so I just, that's where my thought process goes.
To clarify, so the Mariner Center has detailed designs done, so they apply for funding. What was the other place you mentioned? The Astor Theater. The Astor Theater has an existing building, and they're applying for study money, I don't think they're actually applying for detailed design, but I haven't seen it on what they're doing.
They applied for a new HVAC system, but the way that it was explained to me was that their application was very preliminary. They had to get it in by the end of February, and then they had steps that the feds then asked them to do so they could have time to cost out and things like that.
Yeah. So their application contains, they wanted from us copies of our bills and everything to show what we're spending on that now. So we don't have any apply for funding until we know if we had a final design done, and we had, we knew what the technology was, and we can apply for all those funds for funding, to help fund those, but until you know what you're applying for, you can't apply for the funding. So those ones, those projects are both far more advanced than we are at this point in time, but certainly you can apply for funding for those in the future, at this point in time, until you know exactly what you're funding.
Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Yeah, I look at the, let's say, I understand that, the library and pool together, you got moisture and paper books, you don't need the water in paper books. But if you look at Anabrick Water, do they have to build something different? Or do they have to put in a different system? They have a library and a, in with a pool, and that's where a pool is inside, where the moisture is collected. Where you've got a, this is got a library, pool outside with moisture's in the air, not in the building. So I don't see how the lot the moisture and the library work together, because they're it isn't like you're collecting all. So anyway, I just like to see a study go.
What's the direction? Councilor Neils?
I think that we have to look at pulling down the mayor's center, either a separate building, together, with the idea of, you know, in intending your combination pool library, you gotta look at something. I think that's the best bet right now.
So you're saying, look at a library at Queen's Place.
And it could be a separate building or attached, you know, look at both ways.
It could be separate, but we just rescinded a motion for a location, but so, Queen's Place land, a different location than what was proposed and just rescinded. Right, because that was just rescinded. So a library somewhere at Queen's Place, either attached or separate from the building, but not at the location that was proposed. Maybe we could build it in conjunction with the manor, who knows? Councilor Charlton.
My comment was to build it onto Queen's Place and Mayor's Center.
Councilor Muse is saying not necessarily whatever makes the
I'm
best
saying,
dollar.
Maybe not attach it to
right.
the building, but right, I don't know, right. the rules, 10 feet away, 15 feet away, I don't know.
And you know, the Queen's Manor are only doing preliminary designs, and one of their principles is community focused. Perhaps we could put a library as part of their building. We have $3 million to throw in the pot. New builds. If we're looking at all options, they have space. I'm not sure how the manor would how that would work, like financially or contractually, because we pay whatever. But since we're throwing out all the options,
still gonna have to put a roof.
So if we are going to direct that direction of the committee, and there needs to be architectural costs or costs to come up with this, then council is aware that all of these costs will come out of the $3 million that we're already taking money out of so far down the road. Come up with whether, I mean, there'll need to be, there would need to be professional advice provided that it would fit somewhere. So that, and that, so is that what your Councilor Muse? That?
Well, I have to be professional advice anyway, so. Let's say the Andrew Amos.
Mr. Amos.
Then should be looked at. Oh, think we should be looking at.
Would you like to give the committee just basically, I mean, I'm sure they can watch this and get a full understanding of what was said. Basically, Queens Place area is still considered the favorite area, is that correct? So we can send them with some direction? How many, I see a nod, the Queens Place area is still the favorite area. I see three nods.
Mine still goes to Queens Place and Merritt Center.
But it's the Queens Place area. We're asking Queens Place area, not specific center. Queens Place area, the center's in the area, so. And Counselor Fancy reminded us how we all have to work together. So, agreement, Mr. Haunt, in quiet. Okay, so the majority, so I guess the committee, can be told that council wishes to see a library at, in the Queens Place area somewheres. Preference has been given if it can be attached or connected in some way with Queens Place, if it's not, if it's, you know, looking at the dollar figures, but yet it's the Queens Place proper that's seen as the
Chairman, can you clarify what you're referring to? I think you, or you're saying referring to Queens Place Crossing.
Right.
No, because when people say Queens Place, they very much think of our rec facility. Place in Merritt Center.
Counselor Muse, are you referring to, you're just talking about the Queens Place, the land that the public know is Queens Place.
Why would we rescind a motion for that spot back in there in Queens Place Crossing and then tell the committee that we want a library in Queens Place Crossing?
Point taken on the Queens Place lands, the lands that are allocated or the public view is Queens Place. The backside, the side where the pool's supposed to go, somewhere on that green space. But not off Queens Place Lane. Not Queens Crossing. Councilor Brown?
I'd like to see a comparison of whatever new spots are picked or recommended be compared to the spot that was chosen back on Queens Crossing to see if there is a premium to move it or whether we would have been better off staying where we were. I know it's been rescinded. I know we're not going there, but the committee can still come back with comparisons between the two to see if we may want to change our mind again.
Charlton?
That was part of why I asked for information leading up to this meeting about what that looked like. And I guess that goes back to my point is I don't think they really had the chance to look at Queens Place, Merritt Center, and there weren't really any preliminary costing or anything like that compared to that site.
So what council wants to know is the cost to add a library, either tunneled or directly, or to Queens Place as compared to a freestanding building.
Recognizing that the pool is being proposed there as well, it would have to work. So is that enough information from us to get some information back from the committee and have the library board, to have a conversation with them to see what options they have to put out of the environment that they're in?
And that would be their, they would look into that. Settled on the library discussion?
I'm confused.
So there's two directions.
So I understand the current library.
Right.
That is straightforward. So are you asking staff, have our project manager engage with architects and designers to give us a price to put in the budget to actually class D estimates and design work for a pool library connected to Queens Place or a pool library on the lot but not connected to Queens Place?
Right.
You want two options which will double the cost, or not double it, but it'll be significant. So is that what you're looking for, both options?
What does Andrew Amos have had in mind when he's referenced in the minutes that look at that?
Why do you can't speak?
Could we get that information clarified? But I mean, we need an architect for the project no matter what. So you're saying that we only are engaging that architect on like a low level to
just a rough spot, not at a high level. So wouldn't it be safe for Andrew, Mr. Amos, to engage with that architect, get those facts for King's Place?
That's what I'm asking, is that what you want? So neither one of these projects, independent, require an architect to do full design. Too expensive and inefficient. But we do need architects to do some flywork. So we have to redo that again. Question is, do you want that done once or do you want it done twice? Do you want it? Because they're gonna have to price up what's gonna cost, look at the electrical, what's gonna look at the roof, combustible, power, all those types of things, and they're gonna have to do it twice.
But isn't that Andrew Amos's project manager job?
No, he facilitates it. He's not the expert on, he's not an electrical engineer, he's not a mechanical engineer, he's not an architect.
But isn't that who we brought into our last meeting, for Thayer?
But they were architects, yes. But you'd have to engage them again to do two more different studies.
But the question is, we don't know which one would be the least expensive, because I would think council would go with the least expensive one. But we don't know which one is least expensive.
We know.
We've heard that.
Well, we know independent's least expensive. I think that's what, I think that's a given. Connected to the building, it gets much more expensive.
Independent on the Queen's Place land.
I think we should provide us with the option. They're the ones that have the education and the expertise to give us options, tell us what makes the most sense. So I think that is where we can rely on our project manager to say, well, it makes sense to have them, you know, provide X, Y, Z, not us.
Double cost though, if they give the options, Councilor Brown?
I just get frustrated that we're willing to blow a couple of hundred thousand dollars to save a couple of hundred thousand dollars. It just, we're taking it from one pocket, putting it in another. I just don't get it.
Where are the numbers? You've not been presented any number. You have no numbers about what this will cost. So we're making, it's being made up. There's no numbers. So
Councilor
Turlton. But
our CAO has told us if we ask the project manager to go back with two figures, then that's double the work and double the price. And that building a standalone on the Queen's Place proper would be the least inexpensive. So why would we ask for two?
Consulting an architect, they're probably going to be able to let you know at the beginning. They've done enough to say this is going to cost you, two of them together is going to cost you $6 million, but if you put it on the building, it's going to cost you $7 million. You know, they're going to probably give you some kind of an understanding, not unless they're really novice, that they're going to be able to tell you which one would be the least expensive, I would think. That's a deal.
You also have to look at the mechanical systems that operate within the building. One thing to build a piece on a building, it's another thing when you hook into the existing systems, and then you get into all this other stuff, like now you have to have sprinkler systems and everything else.
You're going to have that wherever you're going to be.
Not in a standalone library, did not require a sprinkler system. That was already stated.
So, but if you have a standalone library over there, it's not going to require.
No, but if it's attached to Queen's Place.
That's what I mean. They'll be able to tell you that.
Right, so that was my.
Say you don't need this, you don't need a sprinkler system.
So that was my question.
Yeah.
Why would we ask for two examinations? But again, J.O. McNeil needs direction, majority of council, as to what direction to give to the committee.
It won't be the committee, it'll just be the project manager.
To the project manager. Separate, attached, or both?
I think both. If we look at community rooms that we have at the Ameri Center, I don't think they're overly used. And maybe we could, there's cutbacks there. The washrooms, I do agree that the staff needs a washroom in the library. I do not think we need four washrooms in the library, what I've seen the plans are. I mean, we could use a lot of the Mayor Center's structure to cut costs down on the library. I think we should do both.
Your comments, Mr. Charlton?
I guess I'm just curious of how much of the budget is being allocated to the project manager and architect.
Well, the project manager is I believe 3% of the project. And then the architects, it depends on what level, but architects go upwards of 7%.
Where the budget set for that architect?
It's part of the $3 million. Not the architect, but the project manager. So, but as part of that, we, part of that money is the architect that we're using today, which is very minor. But if you get into building connected to Queen's Place, you'll need professional designs done, which will, then you'll be into 7% of, it's, I don't know, $5 million, you'd be into $350,000. Just to clarify, so if we go forward and ask our project manager to do this work, this is separate from his 3% fee from that. This would be a separate contract for him to engage these people to do a separate contract for a pool and a library and all that stuff. That's not including that 3% for the library project.
And Councilor Muse, were you talking pool library combo? Because there's too many ideas around this table to give direction. When you said to price out the cost of a library, but then we also have full library discussion on mind.
Well,
that's
I think
still going on.
When you do the pool in the library, you're going to have an entranceway to go on that at one end, especially unless they come up with another place to put it. So I don't think it's going to be combined. It's going to be like a foyer or whatever you want to call it coming in. I don't think it's combined.
But we need to give clear direction, because otherwise they may locate a library over here, but then the pool may be over here. And I know Councilor Fancy has, but are you just talking about them under the same roof with connecting corridors?
You gotta remember the pool's inside.
Right.
So I mean that all needs the corridor to get to be able to get inside. For the library, if you had the library on the back or the front facing Highway 3, you've got the back door, you connect into the corridor or something
so
like that.
So the two
they
don't
could,
have to
they
be
could, no,
together.
They don't have to be used. It can be whatever it is which is most
whatever
feasible.
Whatever it is fits. Councilor Charlton?
I think this would also be consideration for steering committee from the library and steering committee for the school to have a conversation as proposed for an outdoor pool, but planned some infrastructure plan to be able to enclose that one day. So I think that these groups do have to communicate, and that we have to make sure that the communication is clear so that something we do doesn't prevent a problem for either party. I would just go back to our points about main options. Like, we don't have the expertise or experience, so we need to have options that come forward from someone who does on what we can make work.
And as I said, the project manager can give you options, we just need to know what options you want.
Right, so is it just the option of a library, a standalone library, and Councilor Muse has said both options, they're standalone on what the public knows Queen's Place land or attached to the Queen's Place building. So he's suggesting that the two options he wants to see priced out. Correct? So on that point, who else agrees with that? The two options priced out. two options priced out? What about one option priced out? Would be the least expensive option. One option priced out. Are we ready? Otherwise, we're at a stalemate, and I'm gonna end this discussion. And you can vote again, I don't care.
I'll vote again.
But what about the pricing for one option? Standalone on the lands that the public views as Queens Place land? 3, 4, 5, there. That's your direction. And that ends the discussion of that item. I think we should take a quick break. It's been a long morning, we don't. Okay. Eight point four, fire department insurance decision. Deputy Mayor Fancy provided us with some paperwork prior to the start of the meeting as follow-up to a meeting that was held last week. And as you all know, this is regarding the liability insurance. So perhaps, Director Vino, since you were also present at that meeting, it is a financial matter, and Deputy Mayor Fancy.
So, we had a fire department meeting last night with Fire Chief, which I think is going very well. And we, and as a director of finance, director of finance, is that your position?
Not quite, but it's
okay. I keep getting his positions mixed up, sorry about that. She brought this forward, and we were given, so we looked over, as the papers we have here, we were given three options, as we discussed with the fire department last night. The fire one, number one, had a deductible of $25,000. Fire two, a deductible of $5,000. The cost saving with supplier one is $60,000 in liability insurance, but also two, that $4,400 for the oil tank liability insurance, so that really comes to $64,400. The fire department did not wish to have any, to manage any increase in the deductible. They knew that was from $5,000 to $25,000. So option one is to accept staff recommendation that supplier one is the deductible of $25,000, and should an incident occur, fire departments are responsible for payment of the deductible. They may request financial assistance at that time, however, it would not be guaranteed. So this was requested by Regent. So there's no money in the fire departments, as we heard from them last night. So if anything come up, it would be coming to us directly. So now option two is if there is an accident, council agrees to pay the $20,000 difference in deductible between the $5,000 and $25,000 if the damage is over $25,000. If it's over $25,000, $25,000, $25,000, we would pay that difference. If an accident occurs and the repair costs are between $5,000 and $1 and $25,000, council agrees to fund the difference between $5,000 and the actual repair costs. So this would be, really this option here is absorb part of the cost. And then the option three is use the supplier two for the fire department with the $5,000 deductible and use supplier one remaining insurance and risk management service. This is what we are really rated now. It's an increased cost of $64,400 in total in option three. That means we would not switch the supplier and we'd be staying where we were prior to what we requested from the finance department. So is it straightforward?
Mm-hmm. So the question is, which do you wish to do? Do you want to?
One other thing I should say here too. If we look over to this page too, because this means a lot to us. It was that over the last 5 years, there were only three claims were put in. There was the two of them are the same as the fire in the workshop, one's caused by a wall mounted fan, and the other one, and they're both in the same time, and the other one says caused by a wall mounted fan. One is for the repair, one is the damage within the fire department, one is, the other one's damage to vehicle, right? So that comes together to, so actually, it's like I said, there's only three claims, and the fire in the workshop, which is 22,000, and then the building is 451, then the boat repair, which is 11,051, and then the cab door, which is 10,000 something. Now, the one thing you'll notice here, it says deductible, so there's nothing there, because that's covered by the...
It's proprietary.
Yeah, they can't tell you what the deductible is, because everybody else would see it. You know.
Yeah, this is what I got from the previous suppliers to include with the RFP for insurance, because the first thing insurance want to know before they bid is how many claims are. This is from that. So if you look, sorry, I'm...
No, great.
So if you look at the net incurred, it's $43,000 over the last 5 years in terms of damages, but that doesn't include the deductible. If we assume that the deductible is $5,000, you have to add another $15,000. But I think we heard last night from the fire chiefs that it was $2,500 and it's slowly gone up to $5,000. So I just wanted everybody to be aware that we're in the last 5 years, we have three claims, and the total from what the insurance company expended was $43,500 and change. And there was probably a deductible probably $10,000 on top of that. But that's the claims history over the last 5 years. But again, that's history. And it doesn't, we know, doesn't predict the future. So I wanted everybody to have all the information when they make a decision.
So do we do option three? That is what staff recommended. Which is what they want to get their own, to have that separate, not get their own, but the separate policy, which would be 64,000.
Mayor Norman, honestly, I don't really think the fire department doesn't, what they don't want is they're really concerned about having to manage the higher premium.
Yeah,
I don't think it matters, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I got the impression that it really doesn't matter to them who the carrier is. Because they know that, you know, we've done our homework, that they're going to get the proper coverage. What is concerning to them is the difference in the deductible. And so that is the question that these three options we're responding to, or council will be responding to, is so it's not really a question of what do they prefer, because I think they're fine. It's just that they need to know how the council wants to manage the deductible.
And what I meant by prefer was prefer that we either agree that we will, like in with motion or whatever, that we'll pay any difference in deductible for them, or that they can apply if there is, but there's no guarantee that it would be given, or that the other supplier with the 5,000 deductible will be the one we go with.
Right.
So what do you want to do?
Can I ask you something, Joan?
Yeah, sure.
Option three, if we go with that, how much is the savings going to be to the municipality?
None.
There's going to be an extra $64,000 of cost. So the budget was prepared with the $60,000 in savings from the liability portion of the policy.
So even if we take the fire department out of it and they stay with supplier one, correct? We're still going to save $64,000?
No, it's going to cost us extra.
Oh, it's going to cost us extra.
So the budget is prepared now with the $60,000 savings in liability insurance included.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the $4,400 in oil tank because, to be quite honest, I didn't think that there was going to be a question about which one to take, but that's my own learning from the situation. So if we go with supplier two for the fire departments, we have to pay an additional $4,400 in liability insurance, and when I say we, I do mean the region, for their oil tanks that they have on property. That's something that the region pays for. So the reason for the savings is because if we go with supplier one, they cover everything. So the liability portion of that premium covers all liabilities for all portions. So the fire departments, ground search and rescue, West Greens first responders, and us. But if we split off, so that we provide we pay for it on both policies, whereas if we could have combined them, we would have only paid for it once. So the difference is, if we go with supplier two, we have to pay separately for the fire department liability, and then we also have to buy an additional premium $4,400 for the oil tank liability. So option one or two, the budget will stay the same. Option three, the budget will change, it will increase $64,400. But once again, this is a question of risk. What risk is council willing to take? Because let's say if council decides to take option one, and God forbid something happens 1 month, and you know, Chief Conrad's here because his new truck got in a fender bender,
mm-hmm.
and then another month something else happens to one of the other trucks. So council will have to decide at that point whether they're going to be able to, because they're not agreeing in option one, whether they're going to be able to help fund the difference. And then option two is you're committing to, yes, if there's a problem, we'll help you and we'll fund the difference. So option three is, option three is really the only known, because if you take option three, it's going to cost you another $64,000, cost taxpayers, sorry,
mm-hmm.
another $64,000, mm-hmm. but if there is an accident, there's only a $5,000 deductible, so the fire departments will be able to manage that okay. But if you look at the history of the claims, that tells a different story. It says the risk is very low of that happening. But again, that's a gamble. That's what insurance is all about. So that's why I'm really glad that this decision is council's and not my own.
Councilor Charlton?
I
do. So if we take option two, we'll have a savings of $60,000, correct?
Yep.
So could that not be put in some type of fund if we do have any?
If we do, that $60,000 is not in the budget right now. So
mm-hmm.
I would have to add that to the budget and then create a reserve with it. That's what you're.
Yeah, that's
so
what I'm
still,
saying.
The cost would still. So you'd still actually be ahead with $4,400.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have to worry about the oil tank liability.
Mm-hmm.
So I could take that $60,000 and we can put it into a fund and use that fund, but may or may not be touched, like the Comfort
mm-hmm.
Center one. You know, we
yeah.
put in
that's
the $50,000.
Right.
We talked about
yeah.
that last night at the meeting. We put in the $50,000, and like last winter, it was hardly touched.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a really bad winter, and it could be empty. So that's why.
Like buying salt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Councilor Charlton?
Just want to clarify. So this $64,000
mm-hmm.
Is being proposed as an increase, but only because by combining down paving.
Correct.
So last year, the cost for insurance, that amount in it? I don't have my email, but what did you pay for this insurance last year?
I only have this year.
Because I'm just saying, it says it's an increase, so it makes it sound like we're putting $64,000 on the taxpayers, but we're going to save that $60,000 in our budget because we're putting it on the fire department, and they have to up the deductible goes from $5,000 to $25,000, so you can see where the savings come from. And so I understand the concern from the fire department; they don't have the capacity to take on that deductible. So I'm just wondering if I'm understanding this.
What you're saying is really there's no. The reason why there's an expense is because I prepared the budget with the savings already.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you take that out, I think we'd probably be looking at between a 9% and 10% increase, because that's what we saw across most of the other insurance sections.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're right, I guess. That $60,000 was created by savings and it's been incorporated into the budget. But if you decide not to go with option one or two, that $64,400 will have to be brought back into the budget. And Councilor Zamero's point, if we take that $60,000 savings, we add it back into the budget, but then we create a reserve so that we have that money put aside should something happen.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Julian, I didn't mean to cut in, but the fire department pays the insurance. We don't pay the insurance.
Fire department pays for their fleet insurance.
That's right.
And their property insurance.
Right.
We pay for their liability insurance,
right.
Which is where the savings is being realized. So
was it?
No, go ahead.
No. So we're picking up the difference, the 60,000 for liability, but we're also putting on to the fire department $20,000 extra if we go with the 25,000 deductible.
If they have a claim.
If you go.
That's right, if they have a claim.
Correct. So if you go with option two, for example, I think you'll agree that the fire departments will be happy with that because they know that they're covered. Should something happen, they know that they're covered.
That's right.
That seems to be their primary concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what they said last night. They don't have the money in the bank. They don't have $20,000 in the bank to take that deductible. You know, so they're going to have to come to us, get the money for something else, and then that, if they take all the money out of the bank, they're not going to have any money to run the department. And if they don't have enough money in the bank, like some departments may not, and the truck gets broke, and it's not $25,000, they don't have the money to fix the truck. So we're going to be short of trucks in. So.
So the question for you all is really, what's the option? Sorry, Councilor Brown?
I was just going to say that if we're looking at a $64,000 difference in cost over a five-year period, that's per year, but I mean, over a five-year period, you're looking at $320,000, which if you take the $20,000 deductible per case, you'd have to have 16 accidents to offset what we're saving. And over the past 5 years, they've had three. So I think our risk is probably low, but it's not zero.
No.
It's not nothing, but I think it's a risk we can live with. I'm happy with either option one or two.
Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Yeah, so one thing that we talked about a bit last night, and that's that if we were to take option two, to put $20,000 reserve, same as we're doing with the comfort centers, put $20,000 in there, because if you look on the history is history, but with that total thing for 5 years was with the deductibles and everything was $58,000 or something, so that'd be less than $10,000 a year. So if you had $20,000 in there, if you were to, you'd be able to supposedly cover each year, and you would always have money there, it is in reserve, and be able to make $40,000 still back from the budget. Not saying anything goes wrong, but.
Councilor Brown?
Once you get into starting to put money back into a reserve, then that goes on the tax rate as well. So we have to, you know, we're looking at saving $60,000 on insurance off the tax rate, but if we build a reserve, then we're putting money back on the tax rate. So it's not a complete savings, but it protects us in the future as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. Not arguing against it, just clarifying.
But to Councilor Amaro's or Justin about putting $20,000 in a reserve.
Say it's 60.
Yeah, was it 20? Who said 20 to cover up the difference?
I'm saying 20.
Oh, you said 20 to cover the difference. If that would cover, you know, if one department had over $25,000 claim, that would cover one department.
Right.
And if it was more than one department or several claims, then we would have to ask, come to council. If the department didn't have the money,
chance.
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, $64,000 is definite $64,000. If we choose the other one, I mean,
yep.
No, that's
three,
every year. Every year.
Yep.
So
per year.
So either option one or two, or the suggestion of putting some money in reserve, because we put it in this year doesn't mean we have to put any more in next year. Put $20,000
in
this year. If there's no claim, we could just leave $20,000 in there. Whatever. Councillor Charlton?
I was just